We're trapped out here. What we know right now is we can't target them unless we have a plain line of sight. Without radar, we have no way to track them, correct?
Correct. But I don't think they can see us either.
Why?
Because we are still alive.
Okay, so they can't see us and we can't see them. And we have no way to hit them from a safe distance.
There is a way.
A way?
A way of seeing them. Without seeing them.
You're going to reference Art of War right now, aren't you? What are we supposed to do? Fight the enemy where they aren't? Move like water?
Welcome to Exposition Street, celebrating geek movies in all their splendiferous glory and a presentation of Prismatic Tsunami. Thank you very much for joining us for our still relatively new film cast. I'm going to go ahead and get things started. Today's selection, I think, is going to be a fun one to discuss. Looking around the room, I see a variety of amazing expressions. My name is Eric. Thank you so much for joining us today. Before I get started, once again, if there's anything you would like to recommend that we take a crack at, every week we look at a movie, one of our favorite geek movies or cult movies or something like that. If you have a recommendation you'd like to send us, feedback at prismatictsunami.com is the best way to reach us. Please feel free to drop us a line. Let us know what you think. If you got something to say about one of our episodes, we'll read your letter on the air, unless it, of course, is derogatory, in which case we'll read it to ourselves and cry. Going to go ahead and get things started here, introducing the panel. He, too, learned to shoot in summer camp. It's Richard.
Is it three or four pegs for the battleship? I can't remember.
Yes. Why am I still staring at a lizard, is Vanessa?
I mean, it's staring back.
Kind of like the abyss. That chicken burrito was so worth it. It's Jason.
B4.
After.
You sank nothing. And finally, he eats super secret surprise Navy services exercises, excuse me, for breakfast. It's the kid. I screwed up your intro line.
I'm used to it.
Yeah, figures.
Aww.
Keep calling
in the immortal words of Shang Tsung.
Eventually, we'll sink what? This movie.
I don't think that was Socrates, dude. That's not Shang Tsung. Finish me. Battleship.
Shang Tsung is your soul is mine.
Were those his last words, his final words? I'm not sure.
Something like that.
Battleship, May 18th, 2012, blockbuster. It actually opened at number two at the box office with $25.5 million in its opening weekend because The Avengers was still in the theaters after 3 weeks at $55 million for that weekend alone. Stiff competition. I'm sure at that point when they released the movie, they were like, you know what? We'll just ignore the number one entry because we know that's...
I saw it in the theaters and I did not see Avengers in the movie theater.
You're strange. Rated PG-13.
Richard is strange.
Runtime 2 hours and 11 minutes. A fleet of ships is forced to do battle with an armada of unknown origins in order to discover and thwart their destructive goals.
Wait, did you say this movie was PG-13?
Yes.
Okay. No wonder they skirted around so many cuss words.
Yeah, right? For one, there's a reason that cursing like sailors is a thing. And two, there is no way anybody in those situations would get away clean.
No. But they skirted around it a lot.
Really good line.
When you build a movie around a small board game, you really need to boost as many audience count as you can get.
Now, I have feelings about that because I don't necessarily feel like they built the movie around the board game. I'm pretty sure that the board game is where it started. Somebody said, we have the property Battleship, because this was somebody at, by the way, Hasbro, that said, we have this property. Let's see if we can build a movie out of that, like Disney does with defunct theme parks or something. Let's see what we can come up with. And then they made a movie that ostensibly had nothing to do with the board. In fact, the Battleship.
There were a lot of references.
There were a lot of references.
But they were like, they were. I don't want to say shoehorned into the script because that isn't right, because they did build the storyline around that.
But the little peg bombs were adorable.
That was cute.
The peg bombs.
They were my favorite part of the entire movie, the peg bombs.
I actually missed that the first time I watched this movie. And I'm
I did not.
Looking at it this
I was
time,
in the theater.
Watching those flying
finally.
In the air. Those look like the pegs. Oh my God, how did I miss that?
Oh, I caught that instantly.
But the nods
I literally just now figured it out.
The nods to the game, the board game, were, I felt, clever. I don't know that they were necessary, but they were clever.
Both destroyers took two salvos.
That's true. That's true.
We are excited about this. We haven't even started talking about the crew yet. Cast.
Let's get into it. Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
We said this was going to be interesting, and we have lots of words, and we're proving lots of words.
So far, so wordy. Directed by Peter Berg, known for such amazing fare as The Rundown with Dwayne Johnson and one of your favorite dudes.
Sean William Scott.
Thank you. Which was actually a really, really decent movie. You know, it was a cool movie. And Hancock.
Oh, God, that explains so much.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on. Written by John and Eric Hober. We've seen their work before. They wrote Red and Red 2. I love Meg.
Those movies.
They got some cred for spectacle types of films that have Red very unrealistic sequel. Things. Oh, yeah. We talked about it quite a bit in that show.
I don't remember that.
The sequel was fantastic.
Yeah, it was. I liked them both. And music by Steve Jablonski, who brought us, and the music was, I mean, it was military in a lot of cases, but it was really good. And he did like the Transformers movies. He did Ender's Game. He did The Island. He's got a solid sci-fi cred.
Hmm.
So I thought he did fine. Starring Mr. Alexander Skarsgård.
For 40 minutes.
Yeah, for like a minute.
Say starring?
Well, he was the biggest name in it at the time, except for Liam Neeson, who was technically a supporting role in this one.
Alexander Skarsgård is technically the top listing on every cast list you see for this movie, and at this point, I don't know why.
Right. Yeah, well, and he was at this time, 2012. I mean, this was before True Blood, even around the same time, I guess.
I think it was around the same time.
I didn't look that one up, but he was Eric on True Blood. We saw him recently in The Giver. We did a show on The Giver, and he played and Father, I think.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, I like him. I think he's interesting. This character, not interesting.
Not even a little bit.
I mean, that was really kind of his role, was to not be interesting.
Any of the characters interesting?
Well,
sorry.
Yes, but not the ones that matter. Brooklyn Decker as Sam.
The Admiral's daughter.
More said, the better, I guess.
Chicken Burrito Girl.
Yeah, yes. Chicken Burrito Girl.
I mean, she had another, I guess one thing to point out is she had another movie out the same year or the same time in theaters that was also in the top like five at the box office.
Nice.
What to Expecting While You're Expecting, I think. Something like that.
What to Expect When You're Expecting?
That shrug is exactly what I was expecting. The only thing I know about Brooklyn Decker is actually because of my radio days. I produced a show with a host who was friends with her husband, who is like a sports star at the time. I don't remember. I don't know if they are now, but, Liam Neeson as Admiral Shane. And this was a busy year for him. He was, a lot of it was smaller roles. He was Zeus in Wrath of the Titans, you know, not a big part of the movie. He was in The Dark Knight Rises, which was, I mean, just like adding some footage because his character died two movies previously. And he was in Taken 2. That came out in 2012. So
one of those was a decent role.
Curious, but not important.
Yeah.
Rihanna, Petty Officer Cora Webbs Rikes, her film debut. And she hasn't done a whole lot since in terms of actual movies. So.
I thought she looked familiar.
Yeah. And I mean, literally, this was right after the stuff she'd gone through with Chris Brown and, you know, all that. And then the director was like, he knew her from somewhere and was just like feeling really strongly that if she could deal with what he said was he saw her handle interviews about the Chris Brown situation with so much class and manipulating around the topic that he was like, she would be a decent actress. And I thought she did fine.
She was one of my favorite acting
characters. She was, tough and kind of interesting. It was predominantly an action flick. I mean, stem to stern, pun intended.
Yeah.
So it really wasn't, there wasn't a lot of depth required with character development. I mean, there wasn't a lot going on there. You just played the role. The character who had the biggest arc, the one that Taylor Kitsch played, noticed that he was fifth in the list of his billing on this.
2 months earlier, they'd released John Carter.
And he had another movie the same year that was another, had big expectations.
His credit got dropped.
Those three movies just absolutely, yeah, just killed his career as a leading man. And, I mean, his arc in this was, he played it well, but it was unrealistic, or it felt unrealistic because we saw, like, jumps in time that we weren't really sure.
No, it was unrealistic.
It was totally unrealistic.
They could have cut out the first half hour and it would have been more realistic.
Well, yeah, it's like all they were setting up
was the thing with him and Brooklyn Decker's character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was also almost completely unnecessary.
They were also establishing that he was the Navy's biggest dumbass.
And somehow fifth in command?
We mentioned it was unrealistic.
Yeah.
Well, there's an officer.
That's not the unrealistic part.
That there's something to that, though, because there's things that really aren't obvious there, and I don't have that bit of trivia because I didn't care enough. But there were things about him that indicated when you saw him later, especially with us. I think they were talking about like the soccer game or whatever. But they indicated that he had been Navy. He had been an officer already.
Yes.
So, I mean, there's something to say there that he earned that position. He was just obviously a screw up. Prior to
did
all
he
that.
Earn the position or did he get the position because his brother was respected?
God, I have opinions about the military that this is not the place. No, I'm joking.
And it also, it did talk about the fact that at the previous year's war games, the ship that he was on was the best ship.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of time jump that we didn't see, but there wasn't enough time jump, in my opinion.
So what I'm hearing is they could have put in more detail and turned this into a series of movies, it might have actually made sense.
That would have increased the dialogue, which is not what I would have liked.
What they could have done was create some kind of... They could have left out... Long hair hippie break into the place to get a chicken burrito.
No, oh, come but on, the movie that was doesn't the funniest work part. Without the chicken burrito.
It doesn't, but the whole movie doesn't work.
I want to replace the whole thing with cards and do a silent movie
and
version.
There could have been a military rising montage.
I would have loved a military rising montage.
But this is what we would have missed out on, right? Wait for it. If you don't, if you do, there's no way to win. He's getting back up.
That took two tases. That was my favorite scene from the first half hour and had some of the best acting in the entire movie.
And the whole bit where I read about this, the whole bit where they did the thing in the convenience store was actually a reference to something.
Yes.
It was like a parody of a security video that was on YouTube, went viral around that time, of an actual liquor store break-in. Like the film, apparently the robber climbed from the back of the store, fell down to the same spots from the ceiling twice. Both have the same camera angles and the details, like the foam in the ceiling pieces falling down. Very referential.
I will not say that was my favorite scene. And in fact, had it not been for the podcast, at the end of that scene, I would have turned off the film.
Really? Well,
yeah.
I was
did
done.
Not have, well,
it,
even
it was
though.
A good make or break. Point.
Keep in mind, though, that is you going in knowing that this movie is called Battleship. We get to the end of the scene that has nothing to do with any of that except for the guy with the chicken burrito hilariously falling all over himself trying to rob a convenience store. And you would have gone, obviously, not the movie I'm looking for. Click.
Yeah, this.
Even though at that point you couldn't have told anybody why it was called Battleship.
Exactly.
The cringe was so painful.
It was so cringe.
I probably would have at least made it to Alexander Skarsgård's character dying. And then I would have been like, well, there was my reason for watching.
That was kind of her reason for watching.
It really was.
spoilers.
we haven't got there yet.
Really didn't make much of a splash.
Oh,
okay,
man.
So, Taylor Kitsch, though, I mean, he was
pretty.
He was pretty.
I don't think he's a bad actor. I liked him in John Carter for a lot of the same reasons. I thought he emoted well, and he created a compelling character. But I don't particularly care for his delivery much.
There was a lot of line delivery I did not like that just came off like soap opera.
I honestly think this was just bad directing because I think the people had the potential to make the movie better, but the actual, like, everything seemed like it was almost like a puzzle that had some miscuts in it where the pieces kind of fit together, but not quite.
But I found most of the dialogue painful.
So what you're saying is they had all this potential, but they kept screwing up? Is that basically what you're saying?
That's a short
Just note. Like the lead character in the movie.
Here's some of that great dialogue.
Your daughter is the best thing that has ever happened to me. She's smart, kind,
beautiful, funny, and I'm madly in love with her. It would be an honor to have your permission to marry her. Sir. Give me your permission. It would be an honor to have your permission. Sir, give me your permission. What's your deal? It'd be a thankful honor to have your permission to honor your hand. What? Oh, my God.
I just love the contrast.
Also some of the best dialogue.
Yeah, that was...
And obviously an improvised scene. You know, it's one of those where you're trying to say, well, that's what you're trying to say, you know? The only other actor I'd written down, I know that... I didn't write his name down. The Secretary of Defense, Peter McNichol, was in it.
He played Viggo.
Yeah, Viggo.
That's the only
Viggo. He played Janusz, yeah, from Ghostbusters 2.
Viggo.
Viggo was the Viggo the Viggo's Destroyer guy. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I like Peter McNichol. He's cool. I think we've mentioned him somewhere along before we've seen him or something. But the only other person I actually wrote down was Tadanobu Asano, who played Captain Nagata.
He was awesome. He was the best part of the film.
He was one of my favorite things.
He was Hogan in Thor, all three of the Thor movies.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. He was in 47 Ronin the year after this, which I don't know if any of you guys have ever seen that. I didn't.
He's in it, I might watch it.
And he was Lord Raiden in the new Mortal Kombat movie, which
that
was
I totally
fantastic.
Get. I enjoyed the
Mortal There is Nailed one it. Other person worth mentioning.
Who am I missing?
Rami Malek
was in it?
He was the guy that stood beside Liam Neeson and repeated the orders.
Really? Wow, I missed that entirely.
And he only showed his face like twice, but he turned around once, and I was like, was that Rami Malek?
So then you're all like...
And so I was watching, and he turned around again, and I was like, that was Rami Malek. And then I looked it up in IMDb, and it was like his third film.
Right, obviously nobody knew who he was. Well, nobody knew who he was before Mr. Robot, pretty much.
Right, it was one of his... earliest roles. Well,
good
but
for him.
Ever so suddenly standing next to Liam Neeson, Rami Malek.
Which I'm sorry to say is a great place to build some acting cred. Standing next to Liam Neeson.
Absolutely.
And that's my only other real criticism as far as the casting with this movie is that the director did not use more Liam Neeson. If you have him in your movie, I
put
realize
him
you may,
on the other side
I realize
of the
you
barrier.
May be paying him by the word. But
or the fact that if he'd actually done any acting on his dialogue, it would have made everybody else look bad.
Oh, wait. I got it somewhere. What do I got?
Because by comparison, it would have been so much better.
I don't even know what I was looking for.
I have criticism.
Neither did the director.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. Scramble the jets, Admiral. We need to get in there.
I'm far more aware than you of the need to get inside there. But wasting lives will not help. Want me to send up another plane? I'll do it the second you come on up here and put your ass in the co-pilot seat, sir.
I had to catch the phone, slam it down. That was quality Liam Neeson. And I mean, it took me right back to some of the earlier roles of his too, like Darkman and stuff, where he could get really angry and aggressive. And because a lot of his stuff is very. In later years, is very calm, you know?
Mm-hmm. Am I the only one that when I only have pure audio of Liam Neeson can't not picture him as a lion?
I guess that's unique to you.
I love that, though, and I totally get it.
Just wrong, man. Wrong.
And now I'm hoping he plays Aslan.
I've now replaced in my head his character
doesn't mean
in
I
the
can't
sub
wish it.
With a lion's head. I just, thanks.
You're welcome. Box office, $209 million budget.
Wait, did you just turn Liam Neeson into a furry?
Opening weekend, $25.5 million. U.S. gross, $65.4 million. Cumulative worldwide gross, $303 million. Still technically not a success, so any sequel plans they had in mind, which the post-credit scene suggests they did, is obviously defunct.
That's okay.
So, ladies and gentlemen, wah. Battleship. Wah.
And here I didn't bring my kazoo.
Yeah. Who wants to start? Ooh.
I'm going to say this. The dialogue killed me to the point to where I actually did rewatch it because...
I'm sorry.
I literally skipped to 30 minutes in.
I would have too.
So I didn't have to sit through the dialogue again. I honestly, I think I'd been rather happy just to have Star Wars text scroll and tell me all that backstory.
Chicken burrito time.
That said... After that point, when the aliens are in here and the stuff is happening and the ships are moving and the or explosions not movie, if the case and maybe the weirdly shoehorning the game into the movie. I love everything else.
They could have taken all of the game references part and taken out everything else, and I would have liked the movie more.
I just loved everything except the dialogue acting.
I have to say, though, I feel like in regards to that, because my first instinct is to agree with you, but I feel like those things also made the movie more unique because it would have been a little more generic for what it was had they then taken out the things they were trying to. I don't know. I would have, before I watched this the other night, I would have said shoehorn was the right word. In my memory, that's what it was. It had been a few years since I'd seen the movie.
But it is what this movie is.
But now that we're talking about it and all the referential stuff to the game is there, like you said, the two hits to take out the destroyer, the peg bombs. I'm sure there's a number of things I'm not even thinking of. All I really remembered was the grid. The making a grid and doing blind shots against a target, which weren't entirely blind either.
I forgot the buoys. I forgot the buoys and that how that fit into the grid. Now, one of the things that took me right back, though, was the first scene where they start to bring up the spinners and the whole ship puts them together. And I remember watching that in the
little
theater.
The little balls of death.
Yeah, yeah.
And being really freaked out how it brought them together. I'm like, what a weird way to bring them together instead of shipping them ready to go because they have to take up the same amount of space.
Not necessarily.
Maybe they have to fuel up before they come together. I don't know. I don't understand alien tech, to be fair. But when they go across and they start speeding through and destroying things and almost, you know, they still clear the kid and then they say, oh, well, concrete pylons are dangerous, so we're going to destroy all of them.
Take out transit.
Oh, I got so mad at that.
Why was that?
What's the balls
that?
Of death didn't make any freaking sense.
Now, I will say just a comment. I don't want to interrupt your thought. Just a comment. After seeing those things in action, I don't know why they bothered with any other weaponry.
They were exciting. They were wild.
Now,
they were smart.
I guess I say that, and yet when we saw the first time we saw them pepper a ship with those peg bombs, though, and blow it to hell.
That was the Samson.
That was kind of awesome. So I could see that weapon being useful.
I liked the little time distortion thing, too. That was...
Yes, where it sucked them back in and sucked it back out for a second.
Well, and the spinner balls had to be assembled, and it may be part of the limitation is that they required a certain amount of charging power or something to put them together.
They could have taken the spinner balls completely out of the movie, and it would not have affected anything with the story.
Interesting.
Except for the fact that it's the spinner balls that finally sunk the second destroyer.
And it would have had a profound impact on my rating of the movie.
And it was very visually stunning.
It was visually stunning. They could have destroyed the second destroyer in a completely different manner, and it would not have affected the story.
That's true.
I enjoyed the ships. I enjoyed the water coming off of that tower of metal out in the middle of the ocean.
I think in continually introducing innovative technological spectacle, though, is par for the course. I think if you introduce the weapon that they use and then you use that weapon the whole time, it's just kind of boring after a while.
Right.
It's like, oh, look, they're sending more peg bombs. You know,
now,
it's, whatever.
The spinner things, my infuriation.
Yeah.
The whole movie shows the threat level assessment of the aliens. Green and red.
Green and red. Yeah.
If it's red, we have to destroy it because it's a threat. If it's green, let it go.
And interestingly, I thought it was kind of interesting because like people often weren't. It was almost very Terminator style. You know, like,
yeah, it's like, this is a kid. He can't hurt us. We're going to go about our business. But, oh, look at the pylon that must be destroyed. Pylon wasn't a threat.
No, it was a target.
I actually had a very different read on that.
It needed to assess them differently because it went through the green, red, shifty, 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 shifty. Red, 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 red.
I would have liked better knowledge of what their rules of engagement are, although maybe if there had been a second movie, we would have got a better establishment of what their rules of engagement are.
I didn't feel like I needed it, though, to see what they were doing.
Right.
You know, they obviously identified it as a target. The threat assessment thing seemed like the obvious way for them to determine targets on their own, but these seemed like, to me, more like pre-designed targets. Like, oh, this is the pylons were about taking out the highway so they could limit transit. Because you are then cutting off, you know, communication.
My wife made that comment immediately. She was like, this is Hawaii. If you take out the main transportation routes in Hawaii, no one can go anywhere. That is brilliant.
But how would the aliens have known to do that? This is their first contact.
We are presuming that
assessment
is. I mean, the movie doesn't go out of its way to tell us one way or the other.
I'm pretty sure if it were second contact, people wouldn't have been freaking out as much.
No, it seemed pretty clear, though, that they knew what they were doing.
Fair enough.
It suggests that they had some degree of operational intelligence, eyes on us, before they ever got here.
Yeah. They didn't really give us any specific details.
Only for the length of the time that they were traveling, because they were brought here by the beam.
Right, like they were lured here. Like, it's like, oh, look, there's somebody out there, and they showed us exactly where they are,
and we're going to destroy them. Yeah. Why did they take out the cops? The cops weren't violent threats.
I don't remember the scene.
It wasn't on the mountain.
The army officer
and the girlfriend.
They were armed.
But they were in their jeeps.
And they were vehicles.
That's what I was saying. I had a different take on that. I didn't get the impression it was a threat assessment. I got the impression that it was very clearly mission sensitive or not. They only engaged with things that were for whatever reason mission priorities. And that seemed very clear to me and consistent throughout the entire movie. It's one of the things I commented on to my wife while we were watching. I was like, these guys completely ignore anything that isn't part of their mission.
I would have been happier if they'd have just been obliterating everything. I'm just saying.
I actually liked this better.
Threat assessment, or they wouldn't have turned the destroyer green when it went to pick up survivors.
That's not true at all. If it's mission-sensitive information, then as soon as that thing is not engaging them, it's no longer part of the mission because fighting those destroyers isn't what they were there to do. That was the staging point for their actual mission.
But they didn't fight all the destroyers. They left one standing because
after two had already shot at it.
Right.
Right. They only ever turned a ship red when it engaged them.
Threat assessment.
Which also suggested they weren't here to just wipe people out.
Right. Which was also the reason.
You know, once somebody or something wasn't considered an immediate threat or part of their mission priorities, they went ahead and now up on the mountain, the other thing you got to remember too with the jeeps and stuff is they were up in a place that they were staging and protecting.
I have a feeling they wouldn't have been doing that initially though, because they said that the ship that got destroyed on atmosphere entry was a communications ship.
Yeah.
And they were establishing a communications point.
Exactly. They were replacing the communication ship that got destroyed by accident.
Their initial assessment would have been updated within 24 hours. But their communication was out.
Right.
So they were going on the first engagement protocols.
So
assumption.
Obviously a lot of that's speculative and there probably are inconsistencies.
Yes.
You know, because you have the director and the writers kind of deciding what works inside the flow of the story at that point.
Well, they're making
decisions based on criteria we don't get to know.
And it also leads to critical plot points later. For example, we can't see them and they can't see us. How do you know they can't see us? Because we're still alive. No, you're still alive because you turned around and they decided you were cowards and weren't a threat.
Right. Yep. Nagata was just wrong. I mean,
it's not that they couldn't see you. It's that you were green.
You were green.
Yeah.
He was straight up wrong.
But
Nagata wouldn't have known that, though.
Right.
So it was
I know that he didn't know he was wrong.
They were out of visual range.
We knew he was wrong.
And they were out of visual range. So it seemed like a relevant distinction at that point anyway.
We only
as
knew
soon as we fired, they knew where we were,
right?
Just like any modern day warship would.
But we only knew he was wrong because the movie showed us he was wrong, which it didn't have to do.
It shouldn't have.
It shouldn't have. That scene where they turned the red destroyer green should never have hit the screen.
I couldn't disagree with you more.
Interesting. Well, let's.
Everyone can have their own opinion, even if they're wrong.
I hear a lot of good arguments. I hear a lot of good arguments, but
I'm
don't.
I'm sorry.
I don't think we have enough information to figure out what was, if anything, consistently going through the heads of the people that were responsible for the story.
And that's my biggest problem with the movie.
Right. Is that you don't feel like it explains enough. And that's one of those things that I don't have a problem with typically. As long as I'm enjoying the flow of the story, I don't require the ability to understand all the particulars that probably either they didn't feel they needed to explain, hoping that people wouldn't ask the question, or hit the cutting room floor in order to keep the movie down to 2 hours and 11 minutes.
I wasn't enjoying the flow of the story.
Right.
There was a flow? I didn't see the flow of the story.
Now, right.
At the time that I'm complaining, the times that I'm complaining about in this movie, I was not enjoying the flow of the story. So I was picking apart all of these things, and I wasn't able to look past them. If I was enjoying the flow of the story, I would be entirely on your side of the board saying, okay, you know what? I can look past that because I'm enjoying the flow of the story.
I think there's a reasonable expectation of why or how you and I end up on opposite sides of this discussion most of the time.
We were still an hour in. We were an hour into this movie before I started to enjoy the flow of the movie.
So a half hour into the actual movie.
No, an hour plus into the movie.
Yeah, but if you don't the first half
he's
hour.
He's still discounting the chicken burrito section of the movie.
I'm discounting more than that.
Did have a nice callback. So I will say that one sequence that I was really disappointed in this viewing, and maybe you guys can highlight something here that I missed, because that does occasionally happen, even when I'm arguing the wrong side of the fence for me, is the sequence where Sam and the wounded vet.
Mick.
Is that his name? Mm-hmm. Where they head up the mountain. There's that point at which he decides. Now, I like the way he got his confidence and he took control. I love that.
He got a good character.
I thought he was cool. And even with Zapata, when he kind of took over and said, you're going to do a thing. You know, I was like, okay, you know. But when they went at the very end there, when he's like, let's see if we can buy them some time and go do the wrecking the vehicle through the linkages and you know, take everything offline, it didn't matter. Nothing about that sequence actually ended up mattering because it slowed them down long enough for them to still link everything back up and get it up and running again before the satellite got into position.
Yeah.
It was only us, our battleship out there doing its job to have its final moment of like huge success that actually resolved that particular issue.
Yeah, it was totally worthless.
So I don't feel that it's unrealistic in the context of the characters and the story they're part of, but it is disappointing that they bothered with it when there was zero payoff.
Well,
Chekhov's gun.
And the whole thing felt like this was supposed
to be. They violated Chekhov's gun.
Yeah, exactly.
The human.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, the human growth
Chekhov's gun?
Part yeah. of the movie.
So
pull away from it being just a straight action flick.
Chekhov's gun was, if you are listening and I've got the details wrong, forgive me. I'm just kind of talking about the broad points here. But originated in stage play development. The idea was, and the guy that wrote the theorem was, you know, named Chekhov, but. The idea was if you presented a gun on the wall or in the frame on the stage in Act 1, it had to be used to shoot somebody in Act 3. The idea was that anything that you put in play that draws the eye that has a particular potential usage should be utilized as part of the plot development at some point. And this is actually a rule of writing because of that. It like you said, it is often violated in various circumstances. And sometimes you feel like that's because of changes that are made, especially with scripts. Changes that are made in progress. What are you thinking?
Yeah, well, it's just that was the thing. I'd made a comment about an unused point in Jungle Cruise last night. Anyway, sorry. Good movie. Go see it.
I'm sure we have opinions.
there was another failed Chekhov's gun, and I'm trying to think of what it was. I lost it now.
Now, to be fair, it was kind of in line with some of the themes of development in the movie at that point, because they kept trying things and running into brick walls. You know, they had some successes, especially once they got into a point where they could really engage. But a lot of it was they do a thing, and then, like, even when they engaged, they would fire on the alien ship. They'd do some damage, and then the alien would do something back to them that would just utterly demolish them. You know, there was no equity here, right? So, I mean, that was kind of a regular theme in it anyway. So when they, like, barreled through that, it wasn't like they did nothing. They just didn't accomplish anything. You know, when they barreled through with the Jeep and took out all the little machines and stuff. Because the aliens turned around.
But they knew what the time frame was. They could have timed it out. They had that information.
Well, they needed to do this thing and then get back out of the way.
Yes, but they still had the information.
So maybe they thought hoped it would do more damage. Either way, obviously, they were trying. And the guy got a commendation at the end. And I'm sitting here thinking, he got a commendation for being seriously brave, not actually helping in the fight. Which the only other reason that bothers me in that particular context is because it was the girlfriend who was involved in that scene, that sequence, that whole thing. I mean, it was really her whole purpose in the plot at that point. And so that meant that her whole purpose of the plot was evolving over the course of the story to accomplish nothing while communicating with Alex Hopper. Yeah. I was looking at his name. Is it Alex? Was it really Alex? Yeah, Hopper. While communicating with him to make you feel like this coordinated idea was so centrally important. Now, what she did accomplish was letting him know about the need.
What she accomplished was being a wet piece of cardboard.
Vanessa's not invited to these parts of these discussions.
Saying, she did not accomplish anything, like most of the characters in the film.
Were cardboard. The veterans of the USS Missouri that Stone Hopper mentioned are real-life vets of the Missouri. Some of them served in World War II.
Looked like.
Now, I will say, go.
Everyone's okay. Trying to talk.
Well, my whole thing was I did love the little point where the guy's in there with a woman, modern Navy, and he's like, He's like very pro. He's like, all right, let's get this done. No hesitation.
Yeah, absolutely. That was good.
It's like, we're in this.
When they got to the battleship and everybody was talking and saying, this thing's an ancient piece of history and I have no idea how we're going to run it. And I couldn't start the engines if I tried. In the background, all of the veterans standing at their posts, looking on. And I was just like, ooh, I got a little goosebumps.
Yeah.
And it's like, then another veteran, and then another veteran, and then another veteran, and then a swarm of veterans coming down the planks, and AC/DC's Thunderstruck was starting, I was getting goosebumps.
This was it. This was the moment, right?
Is everyone all right?
Yes, sir. Okay.
You men have given so much to your country, and no one has the right to ask any more of you. But I'm asking.
What do you need, son?
Need to borrow your bow.
Hell yes. That montage after that was good.
That is the moment where I stopped hating the movie.
That's the moment where I actually got invested in the movie. I'm just sad it took an hour and a half for me to care.
Up until that point, I thought I was going to use my zero.
Holy crap, dude.
Up until that point, I thought I was going to use my zero.
That was good. It was strong. And I think that's why I liked the movie. I remembered liking the movie so much because the end has a strong, positive, uplifting feel to it. And those sailors, those old veterans of the USS Missouri, they brought so much heart to that moment and so much life to it. And like you said, the bits after that, like you were talking about, where you know they're greeting the crew and they're interacting with the modern Navy crew, and you know they're just doing their job and they're doing it the way they've always done it. Yeah, beautiful, such a beautiful moment,
and done respectfully and beautifully.
I was very encouraged there, but you're right. It was an hour and a half in, and so you know it wasn't that I was bored, but it wasn't lifting me up.
So bored through most of this movie.
Do you like gratuitous action blowing stuff up stuff?
It depends on the movie. Storyline or something that I can follow and feel good about.
I tend
about.
To forget you're younger than we are, so you didn't go through the 80s action movie period where they didn't have stories.
I did.
Not that
though.
I haven't seen any of them. I've seen some of them.
This was not a gratuitous action movie.
They were trying to make it so much more
until
dramatic.
Until this point. From this point on, it became a gratuitous action flick, and I was able to accept that. But they were trying to shove so much fake drama into the occasional explosion in the first 90 minutes. It was not gratuitous action in the first 90 minutes. There was this boom, then there was drama. Then there was this boom, then there was drama.
It's a transformer. Oh. It's a transformer. It transformed from a very crappy drama to a Michael Bay movie.
That was, by the way, where the Jablonski Transformers type music was right there. That took me right back to those sequences and the Transformers movies that are supposed to be dramatic when you know the camera's moving because it's Michael Bay, you know, doing Transformers.
Right.
So you know, he does that, but he does it well. Like or love or hate the movies, Michael Bay knows how to set up a dramatic shot. Like
the first Transformers movie was good.
Michael Bay knows how to make a movie that blows a whole bunch of stuff up and doesn't care about all the BS drama.
No, but he's still good at the drama. He's still good at making the drama, but he works it into the pattern instead of making it something separate.
Exactly. But, it's an action drama, not an action movie with drama.
Well, and on the other side of that, I dropped the Bay bomb, but I will say found that the combat, even though there was slow in between, because we're exploring this whole aliens, nothing about us, we don't know anything about them, they're learning about us, that the progression in the explosions was done with intent in a way I wish some of the dialogue had been earlier in the movie.
You just helped me realize my biggest problem with the aliens. You said that they were learning about us. He said that they'd already done some stuff about us. It was inconsistent whether the aliens actually understood anything about us, and that bugged the crap out of me.
But they had hellaciously awesome goatees.
And you just reminded me of the other Chekhov's gun that pissed me off.
Okay.
The mind meld scene with Hooper.
Oh, yeah. Like, where were they going to go with that?
Mind meld?
He was like,
when he took the mask off, the alien reached up and grabbed his
head. And they did this off-color imagery.
In his mind, they showed him, that alien showed Hopper them destroying the Earth.
It was that Independence Day moment, right?
Up. Yeah.
But I forgot about that.
But he didn't. You forgot about that because it's the only time it was mentioned.
Well, yeah, that was actually a small callback. When he first went up to the giant tower with the water cascading off of it, he had a small moment of mental connection. It was such a short flash, but I registered it even the first time I watched it.
Oh, interesting.
But it was, he didn't
it
say.
It wasn't an electrical shock.
He didn't look
it was
at
a connection.
He didn't look at the people and go, they're going to kill the planet. We have to stop them
because he seemed confused.
They're going to destroy the planet. They're not here to talk. They're not here to be peaceful.
I bet you anything that's cutting room floor stuff right there.
Oh.
I bet you anything they meant to develop
but
that somewhere
then they
else.
They needed to cut that too.
Right, and they probably didn't because it was all part of that scene and it explained his reaction. But he didn't really react.
It was overlay. There was no. He didn't really react. He didn't react at all.
Well, no, he backpedaled and acted like he was weirded out.
Well, if I got grabbed by
a throat, exactly.
I would backpedal too.
And I think
they could have removed that overlay, and it would have made the movie better.
I think it's too easy to sit on the inside and knowing your script or knowing your plan and not see those obvious things because. You're not thinking in those terms. What would make sense if I knew nothing of this? You know, you're thinking in terms of what I need to cut or change or move. And like I said, I mean, they probably didn't. They probably had already printed all that and went into editing later and had to take stuff out at the end of the towards the end of the film. And, it would have paid it off.
If he'd had a rousing speech where he got in front of his crew and said, I know this is hard and I know that you're scared and I know that they've destroyed all of the other ships, but if we don't do this, they will have no mercy on us or something. There could have been a rousing speech that he had inside information and made him interesting,
I'm wondering.
The crew interesting, gave them the heart to go forward
and keep
fighting because they knew that it was not just this little thing. It was literally the planet at stake.
And now I'm wondering how much better this movie could have been if Roland Emmerich or Michael Bay had directed it.
Oh, my God.
Even with the same script and the same actors.
Yeah.
Your moment there could have been put right before their, like, self-sacrifice. We're putting our last bomb forward. It would have been great there.
He could have even told that to the old men. He's like...
Said something about it.
Yeah.
Said, I've seen their plan. We need this now. He didn't have... This almost... It almost takes away from the old men because they were just ready to blow shit up again. They didn't really have a great reason.
That's fine. Sure they did. Aliens had invaded and cordoned off and started blowing up Oahu. They had plenty of
reasons. Fair enough. But
on the other hand, they didn't move that giant artillery piece across the ship just to move it.
Yeah, that was great. I loved some of that stuff, though. I loved a lot of the interactions with the old crew, new crew stuff. I also liked some of the tactical stuff they did that was neat. Like avoiding the bombs when he did with the maneuvering of the ship, or like when they drop anchor to do the turn. I mean, that's crazy good.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And that was all part of the I like this movie.
Yeah, that was. I mean, that stuff was really neat, and I wish that more of that had been the whole movie. Obviously, yeah.
And that would have made me greatly enjoy the movie.
Also, deciding that they didn't want the payoff of the battleship in the movie until the very end was weird. Good. Fine, but weird, you know?
I did the whole drop the anchor, sir. I'm like, okay, don't sir, drop the anchor. What did he just say? You're in the middle of combat, dude.
Like, I was immediately reminded of this.
What's the difference between a battleship and a destroyer?
Battleships are great ships, but they're kind of like dinosaurs. They're designed to take hits, kind of like a floating punching bag. But then there's destroyers, which are just awesome. They're designed to dish it out like the Terminator.
I loved that. I loved the theme of that and knew that it had to somewhere in their payoff. But by the time we got to the battleship, I'd completely forgotten it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it just wasn't important.
I was literally waiting for it.
I remember that there was supposed to be a difference, but I could not remember what the difference was.
That line did help me set up expectations for the movie and lower them expertly.
All right.
It was basically explaining that battleships take 4 hits to destroy and destroyers only take 3.
And 2.
Two. Yeah.
Cruisers take 3.
Cruisers, right.
And submarines, was it 3?
3 also.
Thanks for subs,
three.
Yeah.
Three but there were no submarines subs. In this movie.
That would have messed with things a little bit, wouldn't it? Would have changed things up a tad. I loved the rule. I loved the limited engagement area thing. When the aliens first set up the dome, the way the camera pans out way up and you see the dome forming, and then the way it like shows them close up on the ship, and then up above it, and you see the 3 ships over here. And the
that
aliens
was graphically amazing.
That stuff was cool. It was fun.
And that also made it the game.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because before that, there was the entire freaking Navy.
Which... was and all locked outside.
Not just the entire frickin' Navy, all the frickin' navies.
Yeah, 14
visiting navies from other places, all in but one spot. The aliens would not have stood a chance against all the navies.
What are the odds that the aliens would pick to come down and, you know, home in on our signal coincidentally in the same area that all the navies of the world were hanging out doing exercises?
Exactly. But once they put the bubble down, it was just 5 ships.
It didn't matter. Yeah.
We had 5 ships. They had 5 ships.
I was wanting to say, can anyone tell me, has anyone ever heard of this Rim Pack thing that this was at all? Is that a thing?
Yeah,
is
it's a Pacific Rim thing. I don't remember whether or not it's... I read trivia that said it was, that said what the term was from, but I don't know if it's an actual official term, but it comes from somewhere.
Not also, what was Liam Neeson's character actually supposed to be doing? I never actually got that clarified.
Well, he was the Admiral of the Fleet. You mean, was he doing the exercises or what he's doing during this whole thing?
What was he doing during the entire thing?
Oh, we don't know. moving ships around and seeing if they could figure out a way to get through that dome, probably mostly. But you know, after flying a fighter jet into it and blowing up, he was obviously a little, you know. Careful.
Held biannually during June and July of even-numbered years from Honolulu, Hawaii, with the exception of 2020, where it was held in August.
Pandemic. So it is a real thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. The Rim of the Pacific exercise is the world's largest international maritime warfare exercise.
That way we're on our toes in case we get invaded by aliens. Mm.
I actually have to give them a little bit of credit then, because I thought they were making that up for the movie, and the fact that it's a real thing kind of impresses me.
I
also means it came out at an appropriate time. Because played it in 2012.
Played several of the clips. Yeah, right. I have a few more. I mean, again, with action heavy movies, it's hard to get good clips sometimes because even if there's dialogue,
especially
it's
with this dialogue,
noisy. Yeah, it wasn't a strong point. I did get kind of the intro thing, the hello from Earth kind of thing.
We have finally managed to identify one planet that is the right distance from its star to hold water and is the right mass to sustain an atmosphere. Every 24 hours, our station in Hawaii will transmit a signal to Landsat 7, our deep orbiting satellite, which will amplify and relay the signal to our targeted planet, which is rather grandly entitled Planet G.
I had kind of actually missed the every 24 hours reference was actually because the satellite would come around every 24 hours to be in position.
That actor looked really familiar, and I just realized.
And I don't think that even makes sense, because the Landsat satellite, they said deep space satellites, so maybe it did, but satellites are usually geosynchronous, right? So,
well, oh, no. They are not usually geosynchronous.
No, no.
Okay. Only very specific satellites are geosynchronous. It's actually a pain in the ass to put a satellite in geosynchronous orbit.
Yes.
It would seem this wasn't.
Although every 24 hours, the thing that threw me off on that, science-wise, is they were like coming up on daytime. I'm like, if you had a relay satellite that you were sending out, would you do it on the side the sun was on?
No, because solar interference.
You would do it on the other side. Yeah. If you had it in the Earth's being shadow. Geosynchronous.
That's interesting. Or
not, well, solar synchronous, actually. Whatever. You wouldn't. Because it's.
I also don't know how I feel about the premise of let's base this all on the idea that we curious humans that we are discover the possibility that there's life out there somewhere and have an actual direction for it. So we send out a hello message and they send back an invading force.
You know, I'm going to save that.
Well, it's like being in a strange neighborhood and walking into the first random bar going, hi, is there someone who can help us? And then getting your butt kicked and mugged.
But they even clarified. I mean, there was a couple of points in the movie where they kind of brought it up. One was really good in the Washington meeting, you know, a bunch of people there, whatever, the secretary, one of Peter McNichol's kind of scenes where he's just talking.
Thingy.
So let me get this straight. You know, they followed our signal here and just showed up and started kicking ass. I mean, that's really what the deal is. Yeah, this is our fault. We were curious. We did a thing. It was a bad thing.
By their rules of engagement, our communication could have been a threat.
Let's see.
It did not appear to speak English, so yeah.
I liked this clip.
If we return to Pearl without having outperformed every other ship on that ocean, I will personally...
Hold Sonny, man. You've ended up in a department run by some kind of Donald Trump, Mike Tyson, mutant combo.
What was that, Petty Officer Rakes?
Nothing, sir.
I swear you said Donald Trump. Want to clarify? I think I heard of Mike Tyson as well.
If you did, it was only in reference to the fact that you both project great physical intensity, sir.
That's flattering. Hopper!
Saying just Donald Trump reference, 2012.
That means something completely different now than
yeah.
it did.
Did you say Donald Trump? You're fired. In fact, we're shooting you out an airlock. We don't even have airlocks. Yeah.
Actually, it's a ship. It probably has an airlock.
Probably has an airlock.
Oh, does it really? Okay.
That's where airlocks come from.
Fair. Zapata.
Hi.
Dr. Negrady.
Are you seeing what I'm seeing?
The incoming tracks.
Correct.
I've got five distinct objects.
Five distinct objects that are moving in formation.
If they're locked in on my signal, they're headed straight for me.
Correct.
Maybe we should call NASA.
NASA have called us. They're on the phone right now.
Wink.
Good morning, Mr. Zapata.
NASA?
NASA?
No, but wait, did they do it again?
They do it again.
I didn't want to keep the clip rolling forever, but I thought it was hilarious. Yeah, that was his best moment in the movie, was that?
Yes.
See,
that would have
been
best
a
moment.
That would have been a good moment for one of your little squigglies.
Yep.
Maybe we should call the Air Force.
Air Force is on the line.
They're on the line too. Mr. Zapata.
And that was such an assholish thing to do to the guy, but I so identified with him. I was like, you know, I can think of moments in my life when I have felt the way that guy feels right now.
Right now.
But at the same time, you knew he deserved it.
Yes.
Yeah, he had it coming.
And like the whole...
Sorry, I looked...
You have to lead with that. I'm not saying you're a boob, but that was definitely boobish behavior.
It was also, unfortunately, probably Zapata's best scene because he wasn't a particularly well-written character.
No.
And his little quote-unquote redemption arc where he comes in and beats somebody up with the case, wow. Why? You know, if he was going to be, you know, the way he was in abandoning them in the first place, why write that character that way?
Yeah, I didn't buy it.
And again, in a Michael Bay movie, he would have been with them the whole time and complaining the whole time for comedic relief.
I would have been fine with that. I would have loved that even better because his character sucked.
It was the one Chekhov's gun they used.
I'm not so sure he was bad at the role, though.
I'm not saying he did bad at the role. I'm saying that
the role was bad.
The role was bad.
You know what, though? You know, you take what you can get. If you're going to be in a movie called Battleship, where are your expectations?
You stand next to Liam Neeson and then have a career launched from there.
That's fair.
What he said.
But Liam Neeson was only in 5 minutes. Maybe.
Not the same 5 minutes either. not of this Earth.
It isn't anything from this planet.
How do we know that?
Because the Chinese have sampled it. It's made of a material that doesn't exist in the periodic table. It's literally not of this Earth. The only element they've been able to identify is Lawrencium.
Lawrencium? You gotta stop tapping.
You're tapping. You're the loud one.
And that guy, what the hell happened to him?
He got killed.
Oh, I don't remember.
When Zapata first met the trainer and the war vet, he said, "They killed my intern."
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's fair. Yeah. I don't remember that. It didn't matter, I guess. But the tapping. I mean, they were just doing little character stuff. They did that with all the characters in the movie. Tried to do little character stuff that gave them something, I guess.
A couple of them are actually memorable.
I do have to jump on this because I'm not going to be able to squeeze it into my thumbs up, thumbs down. That thing's way too busy anyways. this is
so
a trope
thumbs.
That keeps showing up in sci-fi-ish movies that I am thoroughly sick and tired of. They need to stop. It's annoying. Because the periodic table of elements doesn't freaking work that way. Okay?
Yes.
You don't have alien materials that aren't on the periodic table. We've never seen it before. The only way something cannot be on the periodic table is if it has so many electron shells that we can't even artificially create it and keep it sustainable under real physical conditions.
It's true. You could have an isotope that doesn't exist on Earth, but you can't but not have a new element.
Yes, it doesn't work that way, and they're treating us all like morons every time they say in a movie, it's not on the periodic table.
Then I'm where did all of the other new elements tired came of it. From?
We created them with most atomic them bombardment.
Yeah,
because above there a certain have been number. New elements that they keep discovering elements.
Yes, because you can force electrons to create new shell formations, but you can only have one for every number
and
of electrons you can put on
the
atom.
And they last for microseconds.
We've got them all now.
They aren't stable
right.
elements.
They can't sustain themselves.
You can't build a ship out of them.
Yes, thank you.
That's why all the higher number of elements have a heavy decay rate, right?
Yes, they're all
huge,
radioactive.
Very radioactive because of that, yeah.
They're not stable. There's too much going on in the inside, just like my brain.
So I just had to get that out of my system. Finished.
I will say I didn't know that. Interesting. All right, if I thought about it, I would have known it. You know, but I didn't necessarily know that. I never thought that was a bad trope. It's interesting that you point that out.
It didn't bother me the first 50 times I heard it, but I eventually got sick and tired of it because I was like, they think we're stupid.
But part of that is because I do love the idea that aliens with advanced technology might have materials that we have never encountered before.
Materials.
Here's the thing. They will. Right. But they will be molecules. They will be combinations of elements.
Exactly. And yeah, I get what you're saying. I absolutely get what you're saying. That's an interesting point. Let's see. Super secret, blah, bitty, blah.
Do you think that this could be some super secret Navy surprise exercise? Because if so, they've gone way too far.
Yeah, about that.
I captured it just so I could share the sound effect.
Thank you. Thank you, Wonder Man.
Hey, you're welcome. I loved the sound design. I thought the alien stuff sounded cool.
Sound the best part was good. Unlike mine. As I run the microphone into my face.
I'd like you to stop doing the Foley work over there, Richard. It's messing with us. Let's see. I did like this Zabot a bit. Cyborg.
Can anyone hear me? Over.
Hey, wait up! Wait up! Don't leave! Don't leave!
Stop right there!
Don't shoot! Don't
Who
shoot!
Are
don't
you?
Shoot! I'm Cal Zapata. We sent out a beak. Oh shit! It's here, Cyborg! Are you back?
I have not seen, a smart guy. But
I have
still
seen
a smart guy.
One too many ridiculously, unbelievably unmanageable things today.
The sad part is that I can't even argue that that's a bad scene because it wasn't.
It wasn't a good scene.
It
wasn't an important scene. Penelope.
Why am I staring at a lizard?
Because this is my pet lizard, sir, Penelope the Third.
And
they have the exact same eyes.
You have 15 seconds, go.
Okay, sir, I put the helmet on, and the helmet is just basically extreme sunglasses. So, I mean, it's just some hydration and some oxygen saturation, a bunch of other stuff I don't understand. But we took Penelope to the beach one time, which was a terrible idea. She went absolutely crazy because she can't handle the sunlight. You see, and I don't think that they can handle the sunlight either.
Do you try anything else on?
I
love Ordy. He was my favorite character.
And again, that was one of those little moments that was just about creating some quirky, you know, thing about the character. It was useful, though. It was
and
good.
And they should have done more with it.
Ordy the MVC.
Yes.
And when Ordy almost died, that was the closest I came to losing it in the entire movie. I thought he was a goner. I was like, no, Ordy, you idiot, get out of there. No, come on, move it, man.
Right, yeah, that was depressing. You thought for a second what's the harm, right, in going ahead and killing the characters?
Right.
Dramatic. It's sad.
They already killed Alexander Skarsgård.
Right,
a half hour into the movie.
Well, I mean,
are you still bitter?
Yes,
she was upset because we made her finish the movie. Well, so was Jason. Let's see.
Well, I'm glad I finished it. I just because the finish.
The last half hour made the movie worth it.
I've only got a couple more. Dropping some lead.
Let's drop some lead on those motherfuckers.
We were talking about that earlier.
As I said, screening the cusses.
Love it. I may have to keep that clip.
Definitely should.
Not even close.
I can't believe that worked.
Yeah, art of war. Fight the enemy where they are. After all these years, it finally just clicked.
But that's not what it means.
Really?
Not even close.
I just
love that line.
I did
so
like the
much.
Art of War references.
Yeah,
I like the first one where Admiral's just like, it's a Chinese book.
Yeah.
Chang Tsung. It's a Chinese name. Come on.
Sun Tzu. It's what?
Sun Tzu's Art of War.
It was not written by the guy that... It's not a Mortal Kombat reference. The Art of War was...
I thought they based the Mortal Kombat dude on that dude.
No. Well, they might have, but it's Shang Tsung versus Sun Tzu.
It's not Shang Tsung?
No.
No.
Shang Tsung is only in Mortal Kombat.
I have the copy of Sun Tzu's Art of War if you would like to borrow it.
I did wonder why that whole, you know, fight the enemy where they're not and finish them was in there. I just never was clear on that.
I'm just saying your copy of The Art of War might be a fake.
It's not a fake. It's enhanced.
This might be why your combat skills aren't where they need to be.
The Art of War includes the battle every 10 dimensions.
I just always thought that was Shang Tsung.
This explains your tactics. It really does.
That right there is a Metagamers episode in a can. We've got options. And finally,
next you're going to tell me he didn't say never reveal all your secrets in a YouTube video.
No, that was Vicini.
Oh, Lord.
No means no.
I want you to know that I am in love with Sam. And I am asking your permission to marry your daughter.
No.
Thank you, sir. I mean, it's... What?
No.
Sir, I saved the world.
Saving the world is one thing, however. My daughter is quite another.
Yeah, but...
No means no, however. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm late for lunch. I think I'll have a chicken burrito.
Liam Neeson's best scene in the entire movie.
Sadly. Yeah.
No, I still like the shouting at the guy's eyes.
She told you about that. Yeah,
hanging up on the guy was so good.
But
this one was better.
I have to say.
In my opinion.
If Liam Neeson is the chick that you want to marry's father, I can kind of feel for this guy's situation. I mean,
he has a certain set of skills.
Yeah, we say you would not want to elope because he will find you.
And
especially if he knows what you look for. Like,
the one thing that would have made that scene better is if he hadn't turned around and done the little wink. And they just left it with him going to get a chicken burrito and
a chicken burrito and just walks away.
Yeah. It's like, oh my God, she gets it from him. This good. Family really freaking loves chicken burritos.
And torment.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time again. Let's do some thumbs up, thumbs down. Rich?
My thumbs down. I'm just going to zoom right in on that dramatic storyline. I would have liked a little bit less or at least more believable dialogue. I don't know what it was. It's like they tried to put a whole second movie behind the action, and I didn't like it. I found it full of cringe. On my thumbs up, though, I like the integration of the tech. I like the way they made the alien tech. A little bit spooky, a little bit different, and a little bit that made me go, why would you do it that way? I'm like, oh, because I don't understand how the aliens evolved and what materials they're using. And I enjoyed that. In the theater, the spinners just totally caught me off guard, and I spent like a good 10 minutes trying to figure out how that all works and being scared to death of them, which is kind of awesome. I was there. At the end of the day, when I watched this in the theater, I walked away saying I loved it. When I tried to rewatch it, I got really thrown off with the dialogue at the beginning. And when I ended up having to rewatch it again yesterday for this, I skipped 30 minutes ahead and I felt like I got what I needed because I already knew the back point and I wasn't going to go through all that dialogue again. But I really liked what the movie did do when it did it well. And I'm giving this 4.5 stars.
Why?
Nice. Well said, sir. Vanessa, when you recover?
Yeah, give me a second. That took me off guard.
I think it should really be watched.
They're once. Not going to think that afterwards.
Maybe not twice, but once.
I'm going to do something I don't normally do. We're going to start with thumbs down. Why did you guys make me watch this movie?
It was in the contract.
The alien tech is non-believable because it's inconsistent. The alien knowledge is inconsistent and unbelievable. The storyline either needs more drama or less drama. Where it was weird. Thumbs up, Alexander Skarsgård's in a half hour of it. Overall rating?
Wow.
Half Star, I am never watching this movie ever again in my life.
Oh, no, she didn't. Like it.
Oh, pardon me.
That blue piece of earth. We went as opposite as we could do.
Yes.
Jason, I'm a little scared, but I would love to hear your reaction at this point.
Most of what I have to say, I've kind of already said it, or Vanessa just railed on right now.
I'm but sorry.
No, don't, because you and I often see eye to eye on things like this. Not always, but often. Thumbs down. I did not enjoy 95% of the script. If I had watched this movie on mute with a fast forward button,
that was like 8 pages.
I would have been a much happier camper. I agree with the alien issue. They either knew too much or they knew too little. The red light, green light question that Jason, that Kid and I have now battled on really bugs me. It bugs me hardcore.
That's okay. Now that we know he's using the teachings of Shang Tsung. His combat strategy.
His battle technique came from the first Mortal Kombat boss who was a lackey in his own right. So...
Yeah, but he was the most versatile fighting game character ever made. I mean, come on.
Yeah, because they didn't have to program a new set of fight moves.
Oh.
He was the laziest fighting character ever.
They did anyways. He had his own set of moves. He just never seen anyone use them because he has all the other moves.
Anyway, the inconsistency with the aliens, I have issue with. The fact that they were half moles, half lizards, I have issue with. I don't know. There's just so many things that just made me not like this movie. And I wanted to turn it off so many times. And then an hour and 38 minutes in, they walk to the USS Missouri.
So good.
And there's the old men watching them. And then the old men diverge on them. And then there's that great little speech that if you have even the slightest bit of patriotism in the deep, dark recesses of your soul, it brings a tear to the eye and they go, we need to borrow your ship. Oh! And then from that point forth, it is just trailblazing, boom, bum, brush, ha, 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 ha. And it was fun. And it showed that a battleship movie could work if they focused on battleship and not bullshit. Overall, 2 stars. I would watch the last half hour to 45 minutes again.
I might have to, given how much praise we give it.
I forgot about the last half hour, so I'm going to put mine from a half star up to 1 star. A half star for the first half hour and a half star for the last half hour.
Interesting. Okay. I can deal. You got to make a quick adjustment there, Rich.
You're
fluid.
Believe me, I'm over here doing some analysis because I'm interested in some of these numbers right now.
We did not talk about the creature design on the aliens all through the show. You just brought it up. Yeah, because there's some interesting choices that were made there. You know, the fact that they were humanoid aliens with suits to begin with, that it was, which heralds back to that idea of aliens who are similar to us, but their tech is more advanced, so it makes them a bigger threat. Again, like we saw on Independence Day, they were like, you know, they're not too dissimilar from us, and their weaknesses, their frailties, blah, 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 their systems, but their technology makes them, you know, godlike in comparison.
I just thought of one other point, but I'm going to wait till after Kid talks because I don't want to take it away from him if he has it.
Okay, that's fair. Anyway, I just thought the creature design was an interesting choice. I when they first pulled off that helmet, I was like, what?
Yeah, oh, right?
Interesting. Okay. But when we first saw that they were humanoid, it kind of...
They had teased that a little bit because you could see that one guy's eye through the helmet earlier.
Yeah, a little bit.
And it looked like... Is that a human in there?
Yeah. Yeah, and at first, actually, I kind of wondered. I was like, but I'd remember this, right? From the first time I watched the movie, I was sitting going, I remember this, right? They're just people?
Their hands.
Yeah, their hands were weird.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. You can put that in your thing.
Yeah, you can put that in your thing. Jason, give us your thing.
Oh, good Lord. Okay.
I mean Kid. I'm sorry. Other Jason. The Kid.
Yeah, that would be me. Hi. So I've got a lot going on here, and I'm no longer organized because I've been so interested in everything everyone else had to say. Thumbs. I'm going to do it backwards, too. Thumbs down. Actually, I'm going to lead with this. I would have called this a 2.5-star movie. Thumbs down. And I had some very serious thumbs down. And the number one is the sheer dumbassery. The movie starts with dumbassery. And that first half hour that everyone's been talking about, and they're talking about script or dialogue, I don't get any of that, okay? The moment I'm watching a movie and I find myself thinking about script, dialogue, directing, producing, lighting, any of that, I'm no longer invested in the movie. I'm no longer immersed in the movie, and the movie's lost.
There's an interesting conversation in that, isn't there?
Yeah. So as soon as that happens to me in a movie, the movie's lost. In this case, it was the dumbassery. The first half hour of this is full of dumbassery. The chicken burrito scene ended in this payoff that made it kind of worth it, but there was so much dumbassery involved in getting there that I hated the character.
Right.
And then I find out he's the main character. Okay, so I hate the main character because he's a dumbass. And he goes on to continue to be a dumbass for the next hour and some change, including trying to get the last ship and all of its people killed and having to be talked out of it by his crew.
Yes.
By this point, I hate this guy enough that I'm sorry he's not dead, and that I'm sorry that he's alive and his brother's dead instead of the other way around, because his brother could have been somebody, and this guy's a dumbass. Unfortunately, I know how this works, and they're only making him such a dumbass so that he can be brilliant later, and I hate that too, because I don't want to like the guy because he's a dumbass. So, the movie has all that going against it at this point. Number two, these aliens, the other dumbassery I'm talking about is we send this signal off into space towards this potentially planet that might have life. I hope this is not something we've actually done in real life because it is so effing stupid that, again, I hated the movie for putting me in a position where I have to believe this happened.
We've sent a universal signal out to everyone.
We've sent the universal
yes,
signal
but that
out.
I don't think we've found the Goldilocks different planet from yet. A massively directed beam towards a place that we suspect will have people right there to hear it.
I don't think we've found a Goldilocks planet yet, so... Not too hot, not too cold, not too close, not too far,
no, yeah,
not too bright.
I was trying
not too
to remember.
Dark.
I've actually watched some videos Dozens. On that. Mm-hmm. And there's actually quite a few that are in the Goldilocks zone. They just can't confirm whether it could support life because you have to. All they could do is say it's in a place where it might have enough water. It
right.
might have a controllable environment.
Although, to back up your point,
yes.
even if we did, we still can't send a radio signal faster than the speed of light.
Yes, that is true. In fact, we can't send a radio signal anywhere near the speed of light.
That
well,
yeah, it's
okay,
radio.
Near, actually, yeah.
It's radio.
Watch the series Alien Worlds on Netflix. It's awesome.
But yes, that's correct as well. Even if we have the ability to send those signals, they will take as long to get there as it takes for the light to get here and all that jazz. Okay, so we're creating problems for 4 generations from now, and I don't think humanity's got that many generations left in it, so we're good.
That's a good point. This should have been something that we did. It turns out back in the 60s, the 1860s, we managed to send
BC.
Then these aliens get here. And I made the point that they obviously knew something about us, you know, by the time they land. But somehow they are so freaking stupid that in their approach, one of them hits a satellite, which destroys it and sends it spiraling off into the fucking Hong Kong. And it's their communications ship that they absolutely desperately need because these guys are that stupid.
Yeah, but
I forgot about that.
Consider the fact that you're aiming a spitball at a ping pong 3 miles away and trying to get it to stick.
No, I get that. But their technology gives them the ability to create a force field that covers the entire Hawaiian Islands and about 1,500 kilometers of open ocean beyond that. I think that they should have also been capable of protecting themselves from accidental impacts with a satellite the size of a Buick. Just saying.
That scene was in there to get a few extra $X million from the Chinese.
Huh. I feel better about Highlander 2 now.
That's probably true.
They blew up Hong Kong on purpose.
That's probably true, actually. International markets are, by 2012, international markets are a huge part of the decision-making process.
Not disagreeing with you, but again, that's completely outside of my wheelhouse. Anyways. So, major thumbs down, the sheer stupidity involved in setting all this up in the first place.
No, the word you use is dumbassery.
Yes, dumbassery. Thank you.
I'm sorry, I said it the way it's spelled. just like
the
word. I like the word. I want to keep it. I want to keep it consistent.
I have other sporadic thumbs down scattered throughout the movie, but I've already rambled on long enough. So
no,
I'm going to go ahead and...
No, please keep... You have not rambled on long enough. I want to hear more. I want to hear everything you've got. This is beautiful.
I can't give you everything I've got. On the thumbs up side of the equation, though, there are a few things here. First of all, and I realized this was actually listed as a downside by several people, I really enjoyed the way this movie violated certain tropes in defiance of the sort of expected routine use. The misfired Chekhov's gun that we were talking about was brilliant, in my opinion. The fact that they set all this up and you're expecting them to just barely save the day and buy enough time. and it turns out to be completely meaningless was not a downside. In my opinion, that was actually incredible because people don't do that.
Right. It felt like a dramatic faux pas, but you're saying that that's something that you appreciated in this case.
Precisely because people don't do it because they know people have the reactions that you guys had to it that, oh, it was a completely pointless gesture.
I don't even think I noticed the first time I watched the movie.
And I loved the frickin' dude with the legs. What's his name?
Mick.
I loved Mick's fight with his wrestling match with the alien.
Yeah, that was great.
That was
once he got his confidence back. Yeah.
That was a Chekhov's gun that did get used. The fact that he was a Golden Glove Golden Glove winner
nice
earlier in
there.
In his career.
And it was
it was fun watching him punch the hell out of that, especially since they kept giving us a view from the alien's perspective where he just couldn't see anything.
Yes. That was good all stuff. Very well done. And I appreciated that greatly. You guys kept calling them spinners. I kept calling them chomper balls. The chomper balls.
I call them death balls.
One of my favorite things in the freaking movie because, A, that was such a creative and brilliant piece of original weaponry. It's hard to come up with a new way to kill things, okay? It really is. I've spent a lot of time working on this, and believe me, coming up with a truly original weapon idea is not something that's easy to do, even when you are able to take all the holds off and say, well, it's magic / sci-fi / alien tech. It's not easy. And these things were freaking brilliant. But even more brilliant was the fact, like he referenced, that they show us them basically assembling them on the way up the barrel.
Right.
And they do it in such a fashion that I'm sitting here like, I want to go back and freeze frame this frame by frame and see how they put these together so I can figure out how they work because they're flipping awesome. I give this movie an entire half star just for those flipping death balls. He called them death balls. We'll work with that. I loved those things. They were great. Especially the one where it goes past the thing and then it whips out that little thing.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
Love
the helicopter.
It's like they were smart weapons. Anyways, big fan of the death balls. And then, of course, we mentioned several times now the Missouri, the vets. That scene teared me up every time I've seen it so far and had the same effect on my wife, which is rare. She never gets emotional about movies unless they're chick flicks. For her to have an emotional moment in a movie like this means something. But in my case, or in her case, she's been there. She lived in Hawaii. She went to the museum. She's been to the Missouri. She talked to a World War II vet, the whole shebang. So, yeah, it had extra impact for her. For me, it was just the sheer respect and reverence that it showed the veterans and the servicemen.
It was a really good choice. It was a really powerful choice for as a plot point in this movie.
Yes.
And it didn't feel like they were just, you know, exploiting it.
Right. That's exactly it. It didn't come off that way at all. It came across legitimately respectful, which to me is worth an entire extra star in my rating simply as my appreciation, my token of appreciation.
It's climbing as we go.
For that. So what started off as a 2.5 movie, in my opinion, gets 4 stars from me. Thank you.
Wow. Given how low our low rating on this was, I realize you amended, but the fact that I'm giving it 5 stars actually makes me feel bad. I love this movie.
And also, just because no one touched on it, I did have one other thumbs down. What did the aliens actually see? It's puts it off like the helmet is doing the red and green thing.
Right.
But when Ordy tries the helmet, it's like a sunglasses.
Right, yeah. No, that's interesting. They didn't really give it that.
Bunch of other shit we didn't understand.
Exactly.
Well,
sensory information of some sort.
That's
But it doesn't. He doesn't say anything about any lights.
It was
different
broken.
Things.
It was a bunch of other shit we didn't understand. It all of that falls into the category of a bunch of shit we didn't understand. He couldn't turn it on.
Well, look at how high tech their armor was. Their suits were. The helmet was no longer connected to the rest of the thing, so it probably wasn't functional for that reason alone.
Okay, never mind. I'll buy it.
But,
I get it.
and I could alien tech apologize this entire movie away because I was so invested in the alien tech in this. I loved it. It was so original.
I liked the look and feel of it a lot.
You kept saying it was inconsistent, and I can see why you get that, but it didn't feel that way to me at all. It felt like rather they were trying to give the audience the understanding that their technology was not only more advanced than ours, but worked off of an entirely different set of principles, so we couldn't get how it works.
Yeah, but it was immersion.
It was immersion investing because I got invested in trying to understand it.
But then you got broke on elements. Yeah. So that, I mean, that was there's something for everybody here, right?
And I you know, I when I say keep in mind, I say 5 stars. I'm not saying it's a perfect movie.
No,
I'm just saying I perfectly enjoy
really
it.
Suggest people watch it.
But I did mean to mention this in my little thing, and I forgot about it. They came back for their – they didn't leave their dude behind.
Right.
They came back for him and
– I like that.
They were kind of consistent about that, kind of, I say, through the whole movie. You get the impression that while these guys are not in any way friendly to us, they have their own internal
– code.
Yeah. Right. And that was something I appreciated as well.
That's an interesting point.
So putting the numbers together – actually, it's funny. I look back at Vanessa's times that she scored lower than Jason – it tends to be movies I like, and Constantine. but there were several of them, so it wasn't too much of an exception. Although this is only your second one.
What was the other one?
It was another recent one, Iron Sky. So we've been having a bad month for you. Sorry.
Of course, Iron Sky.
If,
yeah.
If she hadn't updated her rating, has she ever given a 1.5-star rating?
No. She has not. That would have been the lowest and would have been more comment worthy. But that's okay. I take the amendment.
I got to admit, I was in flux a little bit during the course of the show because I thought it was a 5-star rating for me going in. And I started to waver a little bit. But by the end, I was reminded from the things you guys were saying, I was reminded of the things that I really enjoyed.
But I was so gnashing on the dialogue and the drama. But at the end of the day, the story worked, even if I didn't like the presentation. And the presentation was just a vehicle to get me there, to get me to the moments that gave me those. So I'm happy with mine.
Vanessa would like to respectfully disagree.
That leaves us at 3.25. It's a little over just a good movie in general. Obviously, if you're not going to be happy about the Bay effect, you might not enjoy it, but or if you want to see a beautiful movie about a battleship beating aliens, this is the one that
you're trying to
start
over there.
At an hour and 38 minutes.
A beautiful movie about a battleship and aliens. It's really not until
it
an
looks
hour
pretty.
And 38
it's,
minutes.
It's beautiful, pretty. It,
I hear you. Well, let's go ahead and shut it down for this one. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. What's our next movie, Vanessa? What do you got?
Jack the Giant Slayer
on HBO Max.
Yes.
Check it out. We're going to go ahead and remind you once again, if you want to make any recommendations, you can visit our Discord server, drop us a line, feedback at prismatictsunami.com. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure to watch Jack the Giant Slayer before next week. For Jason, for Richard, for Vanessa the Kid, I'm Eric. Everybody have a fantastic day.
So did we hit an hour and 38 minutes?
Not quite. Okay.